From spooky legends past, down through generations, to haunted locations that hold a ghostly past. Come one, come all, come finders and seekers. Hear the creepy side of Nepa.
Welcome to the creepy side of Nepa. I am Dan Kozlowski. If you are new to the podcast, or maybe you're a returning listener who just haven't had the chance, please like, subscribe, or follow The Creepy Side of Nepa on whichever podcasting platform that you're listening to us on. Be sure to follow WNAP's Creepy Side of Nepa on Facebook. That is the best way to always be informed on the latest show information. Before we get started with tonight's episode, I'd like to ask all of our listeners, if you have a story you would like to share on The Creepy Side of Nepa, or maybe you're sitting there saying to yourself, I have the perfect idea for an episode, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is ghost@wnap.com. Again, our email address, ghost@wnap.com. Joining us on the creepy side this evening is Christina Button from the Old Mill Village Museum in New Milford, Pennsylvania, a property that definitely has some paranormal past. Christina, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I saw you had a ghost walk going on up there. But before we get into the paranormal, what is the Old Village Museum, or Old Mill Village Museum? I'm sorry.
Okay. Old Mill Village Museum was started actually in 1959. George Campbell owned a piece of property in New Milford. And basically all that was on the land at that time was just a dairy barn. And then he brought one of the old buildings there, which we call the lodge. It kind of looks like a cabin. And he started a horse riding club there called the Rainbow Corral. And then in 1961, they had a 10-day folk festival at the property. And he decided at that time that he wanted to create a living history museum. He had visions of like Williamsburg, Virginia, but he wanted to move old buildings from the surrounding areas to that site to create a living history village. And so he started moving buildings to the site in 1962 and 1963. And he was originally going to call the museum Old West Town, but he decided to change the name of the property to Old Mill Village Museum because on that site there was an old sawmill back in 1813 by John Belknap. And all that really is left on the property was an old foundation of the mill behind the brown building, which we call the lodge. He called it Old Mill Village Museum, and he started moving old buildings completely intact to the village. So we had quite a few old buildings there, and then they did build a few new ones there as well. And in the 1970s, 1971 to be exact, the Pennsylvania Historic Museum Commission came in and took over ownership of the property, but it was always run by a volunteer association of people. Now, over the years, funding started to drop for the museum's upkeep, and we had a really bad flood in 2006, and we lost a lot of the old buildings on the lower part of the property, and we weren't getting any funding, so we started at that time trying to break away from the Pennsylvania Historic Museum Commission. And in 2017, we did. So we are completely on our own now since 2017. Each of the buildings have like historic things in it that were either donated by people living in the area. We have a great building that was moved there in 1974 as this old one-room schoolhouse from 1858. And so we, as volunteers, go there and we demonstrate different historic crafts of the past. I'm the village soap maker, so I make soap there on usual programs. And we have spinners and weavers, and we have candle maker, blacksmith. And then we have a whole museum, too, that's just filled with artifacts that people have donated over the years.
That's interesting that they brought all the buildings there all in one piece, like you said.
Yes, it was quite the undertaking. They said they had to move power lines, and it was quite a undertaking to do that, especially now. I think it would be awful harder to do, but they did it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to think they could do that.
Now, all the buildings that are on the property now, were they were local from that area?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is very neat.
So when someone goes there and visits, are they able to go inside the buildings? You said there's items inside?
Yes. When we have our programs that were open to the public, the buildings are open, and we usually have something going on in each of the buildings, demonstrations, and they can go around and view the different buildings.
Okay. How many buildings are on the property?
Total, I'm trying to think up.
Yeah, ballpark
idea. I have to guess probably like maybe about 10 or 11.
Okay, that's pretty nice size.
Yes.
So you said you had many events throughout the year, different activities. One of the events you have coming up is a ghost tour?
Yes. In 2001, I started the Historic Ghost Walks of Pennsylvania program. So this is our 25th year. And we have that coming up on October 10th and 11th, and also the 17th and 18th. And we run them at nighttime. So that is from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we take groups out like every 20 minutes. And so you can come anywhere between those times of 7 and 9 p.m. And a tour guide will take you around to the buildings by lantern light and tell you the stories from the village. We have quite a few paranormal things that have happened at the village. And then we also tell a few Pennsylvania ghost stories. We change that up every year to, you know, change the program a little bit so it's a little different. But we do have so many stories from Old Mill Village itself that it's most of the program.
What is one of your favorite stories that happened on the property?
Well, we have many. Well, the schoolhouse is one of our areas that have so much activity.
And was that the building you said was moved in 1974?
Yes.
Okay.
And it was built in 1858. And when it was being held as a school, it was there basically, they had classes in it until the 1930s. Then the building sat empty for a while. They had some Sunday school classes in it. And then it sat empty for a long time before they donated it to Old Mill Village. So they moved the whole thing to the village in 1974. But inside the school, they have the original desk, and everything in it is original to when kids went to school there. A lot of the desks have carvings on it with kids' initials and things like that. And we have a lot of activity in there. We believe it's a school teacher that still has some attachment to the school. We have volunteers that sit up there during the day, and when they sit up there waiting for the public to come up, they'll hear footsteps walking up and down the aisles of the desk. And we had a new roof replaced on the building, and the building was locked, and the roofers called us because they were concerned because they heard someone walking around inside the building, but it was locked and there was nobody in there. We've had multiple people take pictures of the outside of the building when it was locked and nobody was in there. And they've gotten a picture of a woman looking out the window at them. And during our ghost walk program, when everybody leaves the building after they go on to the next tour, I go out and I tell them, you know, everyone is out of the building now. If you would like to take a picture of the outside of the building, if you capture anything, no one's in there. So many times people have captured a silhouette of a woman or a woman looking out the window at them on the ghost tours. We also had one time a volunteer was standing in front of the room talking to a group of people, and we have a very big brass bell that the teacher used to ring that sits on the front desk. And for some reason, that brass bell was moved to the back of the classroom. And we're not sure how it got back there, but as the volunteer was talking to the public that was in the front of the classroom by the chalkboard, all of a sudden the brass bell went flying across the room.
Whoa.
We've had 8 different paranormal investigation teams that have come down to the village over the years that I've worked with, and we've had many of them get very strange pictures. The one group, the Pennsylvania Paranormal Association, had this black cloud that was across the ceiling, and it kept moving. In every picture they took, it was moving closer and closer to them. We've had dark shadows walk back and forth in the back of the classroom. We've had a person pinched one time. They were sitting at a desk and something came up and pinched him in the back of the arm. We had a TV crew that came one time, and they were trying to do like an interview inside the schoolhouse. And there's no electricity in this building at all. It never had any electricity.
Okay.
And they basically could get picture in there, but they couldn't get any of their audio equipment to work. As soon as they went outside of the building, their audio equipment would work again, but they just couldn't get it to work. And another thing that happens a lot of time in the schoolhouse is people's batteries will drain. We've had a lot of different paranormal investigation teams come with their equipment, and all of a sudden their batteries will just drain. We've had people have cameras they bring on ghost walks, and as soon as they walk into that building, their batteries will die. One time we had a paranormal group, they put jacks and like little toys on the floor and balls.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of sat there staring at it for a while. And all of a sudden, the balls and things started to move across the floor when nobody was near them. So there's been so many different little things that have happened in that building. That's one of our very active sites at the village.
So how many stops are on your tour?
About 7 or 8 different stops on the tour.
And that the schoolhouse seems to be one of the most activity?
Yes, that has one of the most activity, but also our lodge building has a lot of activity, and so does our museum. And then we do have a few paranormal spirits that walk the grounds as well. We have a little girl in white. We have a man that wears brown clothing. We have another woman that walks around the grounds as well. We have a lot of reenactments that come up to the grounds. In fact, this coming weekend, we have our Civil War reenactment Saturday and Sunday. And a lot of the reenactors will stay overnight, and they have their tents set up. Mm-hmm. And over the years, we've had so many reenactors report to us that they, you know, get up in the middle of the night and they see a woman walking, or the man in brown walking the grounds, or this little girl. One of the reenactors said one night he woke up in his tent and this little girl dressed in white was standing in his tent and then just disappeared. So we have had reenactors report over the years all these things that they've witnessed. During our ghost walks last year, we have people that bring their cameras and things like that on their tour. And as they were walking past the spinning house, the one man heard a noise and he took a picture. And he captured a little girl, and she's wearing like a European dress, like an Eastern European dress.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best photographs I've ever seen taken at the village. And with AI now and everything, you kind of question everything. But he showed me as soon as he took the picture. So it's not like he went home and doctored it or Photoshopped it or anything.
Right.
So I have that photograph in my photo album at the Ghost Tours. People can actually see that photograph.
Now, when you talk about all these paranormal spirits and entities on the property, do you think they have ties to those buildings that were moved, or do you think it's more Yes. something like the old mill that was on the property?
No, I think it's the buildings and the artifacts. We think that, especially the schoolhouse, you know, I think that school teacher, many teachers over the years have taught in that school, but we think that one is just attached to it and her energy is still there. But as for the other ones that walk around the grounds, like the one man in brown, he's seen a lot of times during the daytime. People will see him and think he's an actual person, or at dusk, right before night. And he looks like he's wearing Dickie coveralls and like a floppy brown fishing cap. People will go up to him and he just disappears. So some people think that he might be a former caretaker that used to work at the village and take care of the grounds. But a lot of the things, like in our museum, we've had visitors go around the corner. We have a section of doctor's equipment. And we've had a lot of veterinarians and doctors over the years, their families donated their things to the village, you know, for the museum. And people have walked around the corner and they have seen a man in old fashioned clothing looking at the equipment and then he disappears. So we do think that the energies of people of the past, you know, are attached to things and they stick around with the items.
I do hear that a lot, either the property. So that would be the building itself, I guess, or items itself.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And you mentioned how the one ghost is seen in the daytime. You don't hear too many in the daytime. Sometimes at dusk I hear them, but mostly at night.
Yes. Yeah, the one man in brown, he's been seen twice. One time he was sitting on the steps behind one of the buildings during the day. And another time he was seen in the parking lot. Someone was backing their car up. She was a reenactor, and she was going into town to get some supplies. And she saw someone standing behind her car wearing this brown outfit. So she parked her car and got out thinking it was somebody asking her to go get something. And when she got out of her car, there was nobody in the parking lot with her. And she thought it was one of the Civil War reenactors, because a lot of the Confederates will wear gray, but a lot of times they'll wear a butternut brown color. And so she thought he was a reenactor, but she parked the car and got out and there was nobody there. So we think it was him because he was wearing the brown colored clothing.
Very, very interesting.
Yes, I wrote a book last year. I published The Haunted History of Old Mill Village. So I've collected all these stories over the years. And with my experiences with all the different paranormal teams, you know, I've seen all their different equipment and the things that they've done in the buildings. And it's very interesting to see, you know, how different groups almost collect the same kind of information. So it kind of validates, you know, what the other groups get, and they don't talk to each other. So, you know, it's not like they're sharing their information.
Right. So, and I have seen a bunch of them, like you said, get the same evidence, but they all have a different way of getting it.
That's true. They have all different equipment and different techniques of the way they do things.
Yep. And that sort of validates the stories and things people have been seeing. It gives it that much more evidence, that much more proof.
Right. The first group we ever had come was in 2004. But over the years, we've had other different groups come, and I'm always down there with them, you know, because we, you know, have to be have someone from the village to be there
right.
with them. So I've learned a lot over the years on the way they investigate and things like that as well.
And that gives you a great opportunity to collect these stories and share them with the folks who stop by.
Yes, indeed.
And if anyone was interested in coming on your ghost walk coming up, when was it held again?
We're going to have it on October 10th and 11th, and also the 17th and 18th of October. And it's from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And you can come anywhere between those times. And we take groups out about every 20 minutes. So, the tours take about maybe 40 minutes or 45 minutes going through the whole thing. And then we give people apple cider, donuts, and hot chocolate at the end. So that's free part of the tour. So that's nice little. And I do have two paranormal investigation teams that will be there with their equipment and things that people at the end of the tour can talk to them and look at the equipment that they use during their investigations.
Say somebody was looking for more information. Do you have a website, a way that they could contact you?
Yes. It's www.oldmillvillage.org.
Okay, I'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. It sounds like a very interesting place with a lot of paranormal happenings.
Yes, it is. It has been a very interesting place over the years.
Thanks again. Have a great night.
All right, you too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Creepy Side of NEPA. I hope you could join us back here next week for an all-new episode. Until then, enjoy The Creepy Side of NEPA.
This has been The Creepy Side of NEPA. If you have a spooky story that took place in northeastern or central Pennsylvania, send it to ghost@wnep.com for your chance to share it on an upcoming episode. We're dying to hear from you.